I just want to thank all of you. I think that the quality of the questions and discussion has been terrific. I think it's actually been a day very rich in comment and analysis, and we've covered really quite a lot of ground. I'm not going to attempt to sum up. It certainly would require more brain power than I currently have at 5 o'clock. And I'm not sure I can anyway, because I think this range so far and so wide, and it's very difficult to do. I will sort of say one or two things, one or two mischievous things, and then maybe some points about papers that people have given us. Brendan actually mentioned there the dispute, or the possibility, or the prospect of a dispute over electoral procedures that might follow a very narrow vote in the referendum. This brought to mind the 2007 Scottish election, which arguably the SNP didn't win, but they became a minority government. And I think that this, without being overly deterministic about this, is one of the kind of quirks of history, that they went on to exploit brilliantly the opportunity that being a minority government, I think, presents. And they played their cards absolutely perfectly in such a way that I think it led to that astonishing and improbable election victory of 2011, which Brendan has rightly said nobody considered actually to be possible. So in many ways, why we're here today is because the SNP won in 2007, I say won, because of a lot of spoiled papers. Anyway, that's the mischievous part. Moving on, I want just to say about Leslie's paper, very grateful to her for her presentation. I think her talk pointed to the way that the Yes campaign have more successfully tapped in to the notion of what Scotland might be, how the future can be better. And this is perhaps not surprising. It's probably a bigger ask for the No campaign to harness this type of restlessness. But I think the question is, do they have to do it? Maybe they do, and maybe time is running out for them to do that. Or maybe, as I suggested one of my own interventions today, they can trust to the banal unionism, which I think is actually a very significant feature of Scottish life, to actually prevail in the end. Murdo Fraser clearly thinks that something bold has to be done. He is putting forward, as others like David Marquand, even Gordon Brown have done recently, the idea of federalism. But of course, he's also very aware, he was also aware of the very great obstacles to actually putting that in place. And I think John, or rather Paul Gillespie, in the discussion here, put his finger on this when he asked if Westminster political culture could really adapt to that type of change, or could England adapt to that type of change. I was delighted that Catherine provided for us a comparative analysis of a Scottish party and a Northern Irish party. This should have been done long ago. It could have been done between the SNP and the SDLP. It could have been done between the SNP and Sinn Féin, as others have remarked. You know, I don't accept a lot of the kind of obstacles that are put in place of this type of comparative analysis. And I think also that Andy Mycock was absolutely right to talk about the way that the quite obvious connections between sectarianism in Scotland and Northern Ireland have certainly been kept out of the debate by a kind of conspiracy among the political classes in Scotland. The one thing that unites them is that they want to play down that issue, and it's not surprising, but as Andy was suggesting, that's no substitute for policy. Just finally, I want to pick up on a remark that Danny Kinahan made in the discussion. He talked about a joint approach to defend the union, and I wanted to ask him really what this would be based on. And I wondered actually if he and others had taken account of Gordon Brown's recent intervention, where he stressed the idea of sharing and pooling of risks and resources. I think this is the key to any convincing defence of the union. I think that, along with the attempt to refresh the concept of citizenship, is key to any kind of modern unionism. And the question maybe remains, to what extent can Ulster unionism adapt to that? And I think a lot of the evidence recently would not encourage us to believe that it could. But that may change. But I want to thank you all for a tremendously stimulating day. I want to thank all the paper givers and the speakers and all of you for turning up and taking part. Thanks very much.